This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
The four boards with jurisdiction over Charlottesville and Albemarle County's public water resources have met to discuss City Council's concerns about the cost of two major components of the adopted Community Water Supply Plan. In a resolution passed on November 3, 2008, Council called for a full review of the plan and its cost estimates. That prompted the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors and the Albemarle County Service Authority to seek a joint meeting to find out the nature of Council's concerns. The Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority's Board of Directors hosted a four-way meeting on November 25, 2008, in the City Space Meeting Room in the Market Street Parking Garage. Charlottesville Tomorrow's coverage begins with Mike Gaffney, Chairman of the Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority's Board of Directors.
Good afternoon. Just so that everyone knows, we don't have a microphone system, so everyone, when they speak, please speak up so that everyone in the room can hear them. At this time, I'd like to call to order the Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority special meeting for November 25th and ask each of the chairman and the mayor to call their boards in this session, if you need to do that.
Well, we'll call this meeting of the Charlottesville City Council to order. We're all present in county form.
And we'll call the meeting to order for the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors.
I observe we have a quorum present for the Albemarle County Service Authority and call the meeting of the Albemarle County Service Authority to order.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to start out with some background summary, and it'll take us back a little bit. The environmental permits for the Ragged Mountain Dam and South Fork Pipeline have been issued by both the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality. It is important to remind everyone here that Rivanna submitted an application to these agencies in 2006 after receiving unanimous support of each of the same four boards who meet here today. The federal and state agencies performed a thorough review of Rivanna's application in accordance with federal law that strongly emphasized environmental protection. We are meeting today to discuss how we might like to revisit our approved water supply plan in light of recent challenges we've faced. What we now face is not extraordinary. Other communities have faced similar challenges during the transition from conceptual design to more detailed design of a project this complex. We are also challenged by unprecedented economic times where it is extremely difficult to trend gasoline prices at the pump, much less a project as complex as the Ragged Mountain Dam. Through recent reports in the media, we've all heard it suggested that a purpose for revisiting our water supply plan is to make sure we have the priorities that best fit our environmental objectives. This goal is noble, yet we need to be reminded that federal and state agencies have already performed a similar review in issuing the permits. Any study we choose to do must be aligned with the objectives of federal law as well as our own local objectives. The federal objectives include protection of streams, wetlands, endangered species and their habitat, cultural and historic resources, and in-stream flows of our river. I believe the intent of City Council's call for additional study is aligned with these objectives, as their plan emphasized the need to remain consistent with the context of the approved permits. As we discuss how we want to revisit our approved water supply plan, let's all celebrate that despite our current challenges, we are today farther down the path of achieving our goal to provide our long-term water needs than ever before. And this community has talked about needing a long-term supply in various forms over the past 30 years. Our current goal should be to build on the success we have attained through hard work to make it better and avoid steps that could reverse our success. Our current challenges start with the interpretation of geophysical data by Gannett Fleming. borings to collect geophysical data are typical during the preliminary design of a dam after the project has been approved in concept. It is not unusual for geophysical data to include some surprises, as the data comes from borings into the ground that reveal characteristics that we can't otherwise see. Gannett Fleming informed the Ravana staff in August that their interpretation of the data was still a work in progress, but they believed that the recent data was suggesting the need for a much deeper dam foundation of concrete, as much as 60 feet below the ground in places as compared to an assumed average depth of 20 feet during the conceptual plan. Their interpretation was also focused on an opinion that the core walls into the side slopes of the valley may also need to be deeper. Obviously, this type of interpretation would lead to increased costs. Recent media accounts have focused heavily on the Gannett Fleming estimates, but in fairness, very little has been written recently in the media about the second opinion offered by another dam engineering firm, Schnabel Engineering, in September. It is important to note here that Ravana has not endorsed the interpretations of Gannett Fleming, and these interpretations reflect the opinion of one firm. Schnabel offered a separate opinion detailing a number of approaches and strategies that can substantially reduce the costs in Gannett Fleming's opinion. This report was compelling enough that the Ravana board acted in September to authorize the dam, or authorize the staff, to draft a request for proposals to solicit a panel of dam experts to clarify design criteria that would optimize the cost. In October, at Mr. O'Connell's request, the board asked staff to delay the issuance of an RFP to allow further review of the staff's draft. On November 3rd, City Council asked Ravana to broaden the expert review of the project to include water conservation and a review of the reasonableness of water demand projections, a dredging feasibility study, and review of pipeline alternatives in addition to the dam review. In just a moment, Mayor Norris will describe this request in more detail. Our objective today is to engage in an active dialogue in an attempt to reach a consensus of the four boards on the scope of the expert review, and then give clear direction to Ravana on how to proceed. Recent conversations in the media focused on the potential cost of the expert study. As feedback to guide our discussion today, Ravana staff contacted a few national consulting firms and provided them a copy of the November 3rd work outline. While consultants are reluctant to provide detailed work or written opinions without being compensated, we did receive some oral ballpark estimates in the range of possibly $750,000 to $1 million. Some of us at the table today have commented that we want the study to cost less. If that is our consensus as a group, I would ask that we focus specifically on how we can simplify the scope of work outline while still achieving the objectives so that Ravana staff clearly understands what is to be done. Today's meeting is a discussion of the four boards. We will not be receiving public comment today, but each of the four boards present allow public comment at their regular meetings, and each have received significant comment on this topic. If any member of the four boards has a procedural question about today's meeting or the agenda, now would be a good time to pause and entertain such questions. Are there any questions to that effect? At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Dave Norris to review the city's request.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you all for coming today. We appreciate the chance to talk with our Bill of Wards about the scope of work that we have offered up in our resolution on November 3rd. I think the important thing to keep in mind is that we are not asking for an extensive delay in this project. We believe that there is already a delay. There is a pause in the work in this project because of the issues that Mike outlined with the dam, and that we have an opportunity now to get some better information to guide us forward as we move forward in this process to get an objective outside opinion on the most environmentally and economically responsible path forward for our water supply plan. And it's likely to be at least a year, year and a half at a minimum before we start construction on the Ragged Mountain Dam. So we have the time to get some better information and to make some better decisions. And I wanted to spend just a couple minutes talking about what City Council was thinking on November 3rd when we adopted our resolution. And I've written up a little summary, and I unfortunately only made 50 copies. I didn't know we'd have this many people. So some of you may have to share in the audience there. I'm just going to read this out loud, so if you don't get a copy, you will hear it in its entirety. Earlier this year, City Council and the Board of Supervisors passed resolutions adopting a framework for a 50-year water supply plan, and we are now moving forward on implementation of that plan. The resolutions that we passed called for development of stronger measures to promote conservation and efficiency of water, as well as measures to maintain the South Fork Rivanna Reservoir for the long term, potentially to include dredging. Two of the proposed action items on Council's November 3rd resolution followed directly from those earlier resolutions. One is commission a study to explore how we are using our water today and how we can institute stronger measures vis-a-vis conservation, harvesting, efficiency, etc. While we as a region have made some incremental progress in this regard in recent years, we need to look at best practices and emerging technologies and incorporate systemic improvements that will result in concrete and significant water savings over the long term versus short-term fixes of the sort that we look to in times of drought and then subsequently undo. Based on the outcomes of this study, we should update our 50-year demand projections and adjust our water supply plan accordingly. Two is following on the recommendations of the South Fork Rivanna Reservoir Stewardship Task Force, commission a feasibility study and related analysis for dredging the reservoir and institution of practices to minimize future siltation of the reservoir. Taking such actions would produce some undetermined amount of water supply gains, and the water supply plan should be adjusted accordingly. Another of the action items on Council's November 3 resolution mirrors a decision that the Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority Board had already made, as Mike just explained, which is to impanel a small group of outside experts to review the cost estimates, scope of work, and design considerations for repairing or replacing the Ragged Mountain Dam. Based on that panel's recommendations as to the best path forward, adjust the water supply plan accordingly. The last action item is very similar, which would be to impanel a small group of outside experts to review the cost estimates, scope of work, and design considerations for construction of the South Fork Rivanna Reservoir Ragged Mountain Pipeline, so we don't find out 10 years from now that the pipeline is going to cost substantially higher than expected or encounter some other potentially fatal obstacles. We won't know precisely how much any pipeline will cost until a full-bore engineering analysis is completed. But we need to reassure our taxpayers and ratepayers that this pipeline is at least sound in concept and preferential to the alternatives. As part of this review, the expert panel should assess the potential for enlarging the pipeline as a way of minimizing the needed storage capacity of the Ragged Mountain Reservoir and provide an objective analysis of the advantages and disadvantages of constructing this new pipeline versus continuing to rely on the Sugar Hollow pipeline as a vehicle for filling the reservoir. And again, based on the recommendations of this panel, we have the opportunity to adjust the water supply plan accordingly. I do not believe, and I am not an expert on procurement, consulting, et cetera, I do not believe that any of the items that we've suggested here should amount to $750,000 to $1 million in cost, nor delay this project 12 months or longer, as some have speculated. We have the opportunity, we have the time to do it now, we have the time and the opportunity to get better information, and this is... This is our recommendation for the best process for doing that.
Thank you.
I don't know that I have anything to add to that. I certainly don't have any prepared remarks. I came here today to listen because this is exactly what I wanted to hear was from the city. I do question, I guess, is maybe a starting point for further discussion, what we're questioning that has been done before, because most of this work has been done before, and with the exception of the unfortunate disclosure, finding out through the borings that it's going to cost more for the dam, or at least some difference of opinion, which we're dealing with. What new environmental issues have come up? I know there's some question about demand needs, but I don't know where we pointed out that the past studies that we've done are inaccurate. I know there is some question about how much we could conserve and whether or not we could conserve more. But again, this has been studied and it's been and there's ongoing efforts there. And I guess that's why I'm sort of starting this off as my question. And really, this is just me, not the rest of our board. But that's kind of where I am. I would invite some of my colleagues if they want to comment too.
Well, I think, as I understand, excuse me if you can't, if you have difficulty hearing me. I've had laryngitis for the past 3 days. I'm actually much better today than I was yesterday. When we received the resolution that the city had passed at a board meeting and discussed it, we did have Tom Frederick there with us. And one of the things we asked Tom if they had determined a potential cost of the study, and he gave us the same $750,000 to $1 million figure. He also indicated that he thought that it would take 9 months to a year and a half to complete these studies. And I think it really was in light of that that we felt it necessary to sit down with you and the other boards because it's important that whatever we decide, we do it with unanimity. It's a community water supply plan, and we all need to be on board for, I think, all of the steps that are being taken and the large amounts of money that are being spent, not only to execute the plan, but to do preliminary things like studies. And so it seems to me that two of the things we need to try to flesh out here, if we can today, is the cost, the potential cost of these studies and the potential time period that they will take and determine from discussions perhaps with Tom and others on his staff whether or not they view that will hold up the projects in some way, and if so, how. Because if you knew when you discussed this that you were talking about $1 million expenditure, you might have viewed it a little differently. And you indicate today that you don't think it's going to cost that, and I hope you're correct. But so I would suggest perhaps at this time that we try to get staff to elaborate a little bit on the cost estimate and on the time estimate, and how that also plays against the time period that we have to repair the dam. I know there's been recent correspondence to the dam safety people to try to determine whether or not the deadline that has been put on completing those repairs is a hard one, or whether we will get additional time. I think in the most egregious of cases, I think that can require you to drain the dam, drain the reservoir. Now, I'm not suggesting that's something that would take place, but I think we would all be, certainly the community, the existing community water supply plan would be significantly impaired if something like that were to occur.
I think what Dennis is asking is a little more clarification on the $750,000 to $1 million from staff. Tom, would you help us with that?
And also the estimated time period from beginning to end to try to complete a series of studies such as those contemplated.
And if I can piggyback, when you think construction of the dam would begin, if the study panel proceeds as you would expect? Because one of the things that the mayor said was that these studies wouldn't delay the construction of the dam. So.
What we have in the way of information is what we shared with you. It's not detailed. I think I mentioned that to get a consulting firm to break down and spend a lot of time and hours to break down in detail, I'm going to say things something like cost, they naturally want to be compensated. And we were not in a position where we were, at least I didn't feel authorized, to start paying consultants to give you an estimate of how much this program might cost. I simply contacted some senior executives with a couple of firms I know and asked them if they would take the scope we faxed to them and just on the phone give me some ballpark ideas. In order to elicit responses, I had to promise them that we would not share the names or who said what. And the information I gave you is a compilation of what we've received. It's intended to be helpful feedback to each of you to help the process along. Certainly it's not, there's not any other purpose or intent behind it. It's an indication. It's not an exact quantity. One thing I have mentioned is that during the initial community water supply planning process, we held 10 public meetings. There's a lot of expense and time associated with those meetings. That's not in any way to say that there's anything wrong with that. I think you have to balance. There's a lot of objectives that you guys have to balance in making these decisions. If your intent is a quick, short process, and you want to limit the amount of funding spent, and you want to focus the scope on the technical aspects of the work, if we have PowerPoint presentations and we have to prepare and consultants have to come and give public presentations outside of the context of the study we're doing, while some of that might be very helpful to the process, it does add to the cost of the work. So I can offer you that feedback. But I don't have a detailed breakdown of any kind that I can share with you that says how much this is going to cost and that's going to cost, because we have had, this was just a quick phone conversation and ballpark information to help answer Ms. Thomas' question. At the time when we directed Janet Fleming to stop work in mid-August, we were on a schedule that by the end of December was to produce drawings that could be bid for the construction of the foundation. So that's about 4 months time frame. But that's for the foundation, not the dam itself. When Schnabel Engineering reviewed the report, reviewed the work of Janet Fleming, they did actually raise questions as to whether Janet Fleming's approach of having two contracts, one to excavate for the foundation first, followed by a later contract to build the concrete structure, Schnabel actually raised some questions as to whether that was the right approach or not. That's something we would intend to ask the expert. If it's done as one project with the excavation of the construction of the dam in one contract, I think it will not just take 4 months to get all those documents ready and together.
Well, Tom, you had planned to put an RFP out to obtain or to retain an expert panel to do the work that you just discussed regarding Ragged Mountain. And I guess the question would be, if that RFP were expanded to include additional elements of a study as was included in the City Council resolution, how long it would take to expand the RFP to include those points. I mean, this is written, the resolution is written with some, technical language that it could almost be folded into an RFP, I would think. So the question, I guess my question would be, if we were to go out for an RFP and say the first, give us a quote on doing the first part of this, which is the part already contemplated, and give us a quote on items 2 through 6, how long it would take to finish an RFP to go out on that basis, and that would be certainly, we would then get back what the cost of that additional work is. I don't know that any of us want to write a blank check for a study, so it would seem to me that if we decide today that we want to consider these additional elements of a proposed expert panel study, We should get back the cost for those various elements, and perhaps the time frame it would take in order to produce the work.
Yes, I think the only problem with that is.
Sorry to keep you standing, Tom.
If I remember, that proposal was very narrowly defined to look for not a company who would be bidding on it. It was actually looking for a group of individuals who are experts in this field and what they would charge us to come in and evaluate some existing proposals, not to look at something new or something different. I think it would greatly change that. It would appear to me that this resolution would greatly change that. Because, I mean, I think, Tom, you aren't going to look for a firm to do this as much as some specific expertise.
Or where you the expert panel we were suggesting was a multi-firm. So we would do solicitations, and probably individual firms would submit to us, and then we'd select experts, which would be more than one firm, which means contractually we might have more than one contract that we have to develop. And I would suspect the physical scope of how we do the expert panel process would probably need to some extent be developed after we select who the panelists are and identify who might be the moderator of a panel. So there's some work that would have to be done behind the scenes. I do want to address, because Mr. Rooker, you asked a question, I guess, about the nature of how different studies might take place and how it might affect the schedule. If it's properly constructed, I do think that the point that the mayor made, that we could do multiple studies simultaneously, depending on how much you want to do, we could do things on parallel tracks, and that could, depending on how much scope you want, how far you want to go, it might be possible to frame the other studies that were requested within the same time frame that the dam expert panel presents. But again, that depends on how detailed you want to get, how much space you want to get into it, or that would in fact be true or not. But I certainly at this point see no reason why that's not possible.
Well, the expert panel work is I guess would be done by a group as opposed to a single firm. The rest of these things that are now being considered by city, that were considered by city council, are they appropriate for a single firm to do?
A dredging feasibility study could be something that a single firm could do. The water conservation fits as well. The pipeline evaluation could be a single firm. Then the question is, do you want just a single firm doing those studies independent of the dam expert panel, or do you want also want experts reviewing those individual studies as well? And that's probably a question on the table. It would cost more if you want those studies to then be reviewed by a panel.
Isn't there a natural connection between two of the components? If in some ways what we're wanting to do is to look at the cost, the Gannett Fleming estimate for the dam, and look at both the new information and their overall proposal, have some experts say yes, they've made correct assumptions and this is reasonable, or decide differently and say, well, you know, there's actually some, you know, our consensus is that this part of it wasn't quite right or whatever. Wouldn't the part that we have in here about the pipeline from South Fork to Ragged Mountain fit in the same kind of technical expertise, looking over the shoulder of someone else's work from someone experienced in dams and pipelines to be able to say, yes, these are reasonable assumptions and this is a good estimate, or to point out problems in the methodology?
Don't those two have a pretty natural connection?
I think it's fair to say that there are some people who would be qualified to serve on the dam expert panel that could also address the pipeline. We have not wanted to connect the two simply because we want to make sure that for the dam review, we get the best. We get, after we review all the proposals, we pick who we think are the best experts in the nation. And we didn't want to tie ourselves to say it has to be the best experts that also can do the pipeline work. So we did not connect the two, but that doesn't mean there aren't people in this country who might be able to be experts on both.
And, Tom, did you have a rough estimate in mind of what it would cost for the expert panel to review the dam design?
When we were talking with the board of directors about doing the expert panel, we had not made contacts and gotten some figures, but I would suggest within the context of some of the phone calls I made after November 3rd, I'm guessing in the range, maybe a low end of $150,000 to $200,000, maybe a higher end might be $300,000 for just the dam. And I think that gives you enough information to give you something to work with.
I wanted to clarify something if I could, Dave. Maybe you can help me with this, because it appears that what City Council's questioning is work that's already been done, the validity of the work that's already been done, because I think most of these studies were all part of what we did originally when we started. We came up with 32 or 34 options, and we whittled those down, and we went through the public input. Now, is the question that the council has is whether or not that is valid information, and are we really looking for somebody just to look over those studies and say, hey, these people were wrong in what they did, and it came up with invalid information, and the yields were wrong or right or what?
Well, I think on the pipeline study, what we want to avoid, as I said earlier, is the same issue we encountered with the dam project, where we find out, 10 years from now when it's too late, that the project is going to be 3 or 4 times the estimated cost, or might face some other obstacles that are quite problematic. And so if we can
getting this group of experts to come in now. We're not asking them to do an engineering analysis on this pipeline, which would be a major undertaking, but to look at all the information that's in hand or that's easily obtainable and give us their best outside objective opinion on, is this the best path forward on the pipeline. So
you're not talking about public hearings or public input, or just reviewing what data we
I see it very similar to the work that is being suggested for the dam. So it's not a lot of new research, new analysis. We have a lot of information that's in-house, and I think that we need to reassure the public that this really is a sound proposal. On the conservation study, that will require some analysis and probably some public engagement. The best estimate we got from, I don't know if Ridge is here, but I think he was thinking that would cost no more than $50,000 to do that study. The dredging feasibility study is something that's likely to be an outcome of the stewardship task force anyway, so that's not a new recommendation per se that we're suggesting. So in terms of new things that are on the table as a result of November 3rd, really we're talking about $50,000 for a conservation study, if that, and then maybe a couple hundred thousand dollars for to get a panel of outside experts. If unless we can do as Dr. Brown is suggesting and simply have the existing panel of experts broaden their scope of analysis.
Can I just make one comment? Have we gotten a expert panel together to look at the dam prior to having the rock borings, we wouldn't have known anything different. That we could have very easily gotten back, this is a great project and it looks fine to us. So to say that we'll have an expert panel look at the pipeline now without doing an extensive engineering study, you know, we may still end up in 10 years having a problem. If we had done the James River pipeline, we may still be in a situation like that.
I think that's very fair to say, and that's why I mentioned it here that, you know, we won't know for sure until we do that full engineering analysis and do the boring.
And why do we want to spend some money now if it's not going to tell us the answer?
Well, I think there's a lot of legitimate questions that have been raised about the pipeline that we need to reassure the public.
For example, what questions have been raised since the time that these plans were approved by all the boards that has caused you all to think we need to go back and redo the things that have been done?
Well, I mean, if I can make a comment, you know, I mean, we've had many of our neighborhood associations express concern about the price of the dam. Now, I will recognize that part of the information the neighborhoods have gotten probably came from a story in The Hook, which did not mention that fracture lines had been found in the rock. Just implied that this was totally due to a really low-balled estimate. So, but the reality is a lot of the residents of Charlottesville are very concerned about whether we've gotten accurate estimates on the dam, and by extension, whether the estimates for the pipeline likewise are reasonable and well thought or contain, you know, some type of flaws or improper methodology. And I think that for one way of addressing that, but I'm not clear on the answer, and I wouldn't mind hearing, you know, some information from Tom Frederick, is the rising estimates for the dam itself, are they solely due to the presence, the requirement of having to deepen the dam, the base of the dam, because of the fractured rock, or are there other reasons why the estimates have risen for the dam? Okay. But because, like, I think those are the kind of issues. I think there's a consensus out there that it's much more than, or a thought in the public that it's much more than just the fracture, even if the public is aware of that.
I'd like to ask Tom a question.
In today's economic world, it's really tough from one day to the next to talk about how much something's going to cost, because there's so many wild factors going on in the economy. I will share with you that in the, all this time frame when this information was coming to light for us, it was mentioned in the context of discussion that a $37 million project in 2005-2006 would at that moment in time be a $42-43 billion project solely on the basis of inflation in the construction industry. We have said publicly that the majority of the But the major reason, we believe, for the change in Gannett Fleming's estimate is due to their assumptions based on their geophysical data review that they think that the dam needs to be much deeper in the ground now than it was earlier. We think that's the major reason, but it's not the sole reason. And I put this in the context of all this because gas prices even today are not what they were 3 months ago. It's really one of the things we worry a lot about right now. With gas and fuel prices fluctuating so much as they have, and people like what they're paying for gas right now, they didn't a few months ago. When a contractor is bidding a project that's going to go for 24 to 30 months, the big question, and one of the things we would actually consider is allowing the price to fluctuate based on the market, because bidders who are asked to give a firm price for something 30 months and the way things are jumping up and down right now, they're likely to cover themselves, and that worries us that that increases the bid cost unless we assume the risk by tying their cost over to some index that floats during the construction project. That's a long-winded answer to your question, but there's a lot of factors going on right now.
Well, time to spend, you can ask him.
Lindsay, okay.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah. Well, I had a question about the dredging. I thought the main issue we were dealing with was an increased cost of the dredging and the possibility of where we were going to put the siltation and all of that. And I wondered if that has changed any in your estimate of what the total cost is going to be. I understood it was going up and that we had found a firm that could put the siltation out near the reservoir, and it was going to work out fine. I believe it was a quarry site for some of the siltation.
I believe the best way for you to get a better handle under current market conditions on what the cost of dredging might be would be to do a feasibility study along the lines of what you're proposing here and along the lines of what Gahagan and Bryant has suggested or recommended. It is fair to say that if a private entity steps forward, as many of you have heard in recent months, though that just did not happen 3 years ago, but in recent months a private entity with a quarry has stepped forward and offered an alternative way, at least in verbal discussion, to use a site for dredged spoil without having to buy and own the site. If we were to get someone in this community, private entity, motivated, they're going to be motivated by their own profit, of course, but if they are motivated to provide something to us that cuts through the recommendation that the discussion Gannett Fleming had about logistical uncertainties and the possible need to buy a lot of land, if you can cut through that, you can make dredging cheaper than what they reported in their report. And I think even the way they wrote the report, they acknowledged that themselves. And that's probably something that's not being communicated very well in a lot of the public discussion about dredging that's going on now.
Well, the only way you're going to know for certain is to ultimately put out an RFP and see what you get back.
That's correct. I think if you do a study similar to what Gahagan and Bryant suggested, where they're saying they're going to establish by the end of the project where the disposal site might be, you get better estimates, and we hope they come down. But the way to do that is to do the study, and then ultimately, as Dennis suggests, the best way to know is to actually have a bid. And even during construction, you're going to run into things that are going to, hopefully minor, but you're going to, prices always fluctuate during construction all the way to the very end.
Just as a point of clarification,
because this has been bandied around a lot, is that dredging by itself will not, so there's no one who believes dredging by itself will solve the 50-year water needs of the community.
That's correct.
I mean, there might be some variance in the height of the dam at Ragged Mountain, but dredging will not be the only solution to it. We still have to do something with another impoundment or supply.
One of the things that this community got at no cost, which is fortunate, is this community, realized or not, got a complete review of the lake yield analysis that Gannett Fleming did. It was done by Hydrologics and paid for by the Nature Conservancy. During the discussions that we had over what the stream flows might be, they had the data with their consultant. Gannett Fleming had our data. The two were compared and reconciled and calibrated. So that in itself is an indication that two firms coming at this independently have come to the same conclusions regarding the safe yield work. And the safe yield number for if you dredge to restore Janet Fleming estimated the practical ability was 85% of the original volume could be restored. If you accept that assumption, the safe yield is 14.3. What we said during the community water supply study that we felt we needed for 50 years, and this was done as a community, was 18.7. So those are the numbers that you would compare.
Two comments I'd like to make. One is that pipeline, it'll be good to find out, so at least I'm not expecting it to be redesigned in this process. As the mayor said, this is getting a ballpark idea, this is review the data for existing data and see if it makes sense. That's one point. And second, I do think that there is a need for dredging study regardless we do it now or do it later. I think the task force is also requesting that, and we have to do that ourselves. And that part, I think, is an addition. Should happen sooner or later.
One thing I think, as you talked about the pipeline, as you further, one thing that may be helpful to refresh everyone's memory, at the time the community meetings were being held and the water supply study was advancing, there was a very, very strong interest in this community, a lot of public input suggesting that the South Fork pipeline should not carry sediment into the Ragged Mountain Dam. So there were some proposals, including removing sediment in South Fork, that were designed to specifically address that interest and concern within the community. If in today's climate, if we're simply looking at the idea of what brings the cheapest cost, there are ways to simplify the South Fork pipeline project that we can come up with without having to engage the expert panel. What that is to say is that a lot of times the importance of an estimate or the importance of a scope depends on what the objectives of the community were, and you have to put that in the context of what people were talking about at the time those studies were proposed in order to understand how the things were made that were made.
Yes, thank you. I'm going back to basics a little bit. I would just like to ask the city, and this follows up on Mr. Wagner's question, does the city have a specific factual basis for the necessity for spending this additional money for these additional studies? Resolutions usually come with some statement of the facts that support the necessity for the resolution, and I haven't seen that here. Mr. Norris seemed to indicate the part of the reasoning of the City Council was to reassure the public that we have the best plan here. It doesn't matter what plan we have. There are going to be elements of the public that disagree with what government is doing. Doesn't matter what plan. And, I think we need to address the question of whether or not government should be paralyzed just because there is an element of the community that has some concerns. And I think we should focus more on statement of specific facts as to if there are defects in the prior studies that were done, they should be clearly identified and specifically addressed with these further studies before we spend one another nickel on this process.
Well, before, can I say something?
Julian, and then
I'll just respond to that. I guess one of the things that bothers me, and I know it's been looked at and everything, but I would still like to know what it cost. I mean, we're representing the citizens of the city of Charlottesville. A lot of people are interested in it, and I think a lot could add to this when we had the big increase, when the cost almost doubled, I guess, and a lot of people are asking questions. So, I don't want to waste any money, but I think a lot of people in a lot of neighborhoods have a valid concern if the questions are asked, and I guess it bothers me.
Well, I think that we all supported a plan based upon cost estimates, and supposing the cost is double what we originally estimated, I doubt that that's going to be the case for the whole project, for example. Would we all still just allow that cost to go on without looking at alternatives? I don't think so. So I think it's prudent, especially in light of the cost increases that appear to be taking place in the dam part of the project, to make certain that the other components of the project are reasonably estimated. The costs are reasonably estimated. I mean, in my view, we really don't have a plan, much of a plan, if all we do is expand Ragged Mountain without addressing the pipeline issue. And I know there are different opinions about this, but I'm not much in favor of waiting 10 years to go forward with the pipeline to the point where we find out what it costs and to make certain that it's actually feasible, because I would hate to be in a situation where we expand Ragged Mountain and find out for whatever reason that the pipeline project is not feasible. I believe it is feasible, but I think it would be helpful to have a panel of experts look at it, look at the cost estimates, and determine that, in fact, it can be done the way that it is included in the plan to be done.
I have 2 points. Number one, if the city wants, and I'm sure they do, in order to make city residents more comfortable with the dam cost, what we do need to do is let Ravana get the expert panel together and look at the dam. I mean, that's the clearest way to get that part of it set aside and determined. With respect to the pipeline, I'll make a point. We have to fill that. If we do the dam, which I'm assuming that we will at some height, we're going to have to fill it somehow. And so if you're going to look at what kind of price the South Fork to Ragged Mountain Dam is going to cost, you have to compare that 9-mile pipeline with your other choices, which we don't have complete costs on at this point, which would be the 23-mile pipeline from the James River, or replacing a 13-mile pipeline across the rural areas to the Mormons River. So you really have to do an apples to apples comparison before you'll really get a comfortable feeling, which is a much larger study. And I'm not suggesting that we do that, but I'm just pointing out that you could get a study on that 9-mile pipeline and say, oh, that's too much. Well, you also have to look at your other choices, which are two other pipelines which are longer, which are going to cost at least as much, if not more.
And with either of those.
And was next, then Dave.
Yeah, I just want to sort of piggyback a little bit on what Liz is saying. And if this is all a matter of let's find the most practical cost involved in it, I don't see how we can do that with a project that is potentially 10 years off, because I can guarantee you that no matter how much study you do now, the cost of building that pipeline 10 years from now will be less or more than what it is today, depending on what's happening with construction costs, land costs, all the other factors that are going in. I agree with you, Dennis, that I would love in the city council, I'd love to nail down these costs, but I don't see there's any way we could do that. I mean, I just don't. We'd be facing the same thing 10 years from now by saying, gee, construction costs have gone up a whole lot, and we're going to pay twice as much anyway, even though we did a study that says we were not going to do that.
Lots of good issues have been raised. Mr. Martin, when you're asking about specific concerns that we're trying to address, I think I've just spelled out some here. In terms of the costs, I think this water supply plan has suffered from lack of specificity and accuracy with costs. We were told that dredging South Fork Ravana Reservoir may cost $220-some-odd million. We now know, based on information that wasn't that hard to obtain, that cost was dramatically overinflated. And also with the dam, and your point is accurate, Liz, that we wouldn't know that the dam was going to be as expensive as it looks like it's going to be without those engineering, the borings and the engineering analysis. But still, I think it dismayed some of us, as Mr. Talavera said, to see the inflation on the cost of the dam. So we're all a little bit wary about the dollar figures that have gone into this plan. Secondly, with the pipeline itself, there's concern about the fact that it's, at least in some part, premised on the construction of the Western Bypass. Now, some might say there are better alternatives, or there are other alternatives if the Western Bypass isn't built, and we just want some reassurance that that is indeed the case. The conservation goals that are set forth in this plan, I think a lot of us feel, are woefully inadequate. We're talking about 5% reduction per capita in conservation, and I believe, and I think a lot of us believe, that other communities have shown that you can go much higher than 5% without having to live in permanent drought restrictions. And so we need better analysis of that. On dredging, the plan does not provide for the fact that there are that the reservoir could be dredged and that there might be resulting water supply gains. And why would we not choose to incorporate those into the plan and save money and save some acreage and thousands of trees at Ragged Mountain Reservoir? And then in terms of an apples-to-apples comparison, I fully agree. I think right now part of the reason why this pipeline is getting some negative press is because people aren't looking at the alternative. And the reality is this pipeline may well be the cheapest pipeline when you look at what it would cost to replace the Sugar Hollow pipeline, which is why we specify in here that we want some better analysis and as accurate a comparison as possible without doing those full-bore engineering analysis, which is what you would really need to nail down the cost, but as best an analysis as possible of the advantages and disadvantages of this pipeline versus Sugar Hollow pipeline. I don't think any of us here want to revisit the James River pipeline. We're trying to stay within the goals, the overarching goals of the water supply planning process, one of which was keep it in our watershed.
Sally?
Well, I was thinking we would begin today by talking about what we agree about, and I think we all agree with the Ragged Mountain Dam Design Review Team, if you want to start off with something that we agree about, and that was what we Rivanna Board was willing to vote on originally. The pipeline issue is surely an interesting one, but there are three pipelines, and you're right that we pretty much decided we didn't want to go to the James, but that one and the one from some of the pipelines will bring in silt to the reservoir, and if we have the pipeline that goes the 9 mile pipeline and make sure that the water is settled out, silt is settled out first, we're essentially going to be creating a reservoir up there that will last almost forever because it's going to be an almost unique reservoir that won't be silting in. So if anybody is factoring in the cost of the different pipelines, they should factor in that cost. And that aspect is one of the things that's going to make the 9 mile pipeline a very good long-range bargain. It's also the one that is most environmentally friendly. I don't know if the city cares that much about Mormons River. We in the county really do, and there's a great difference between the effect of those two pipelines. And if you want to price it, you know, big pipes are laid in the ground in cities all the time, and you could get somebody to multiply 9 miles times the price of recent big pipeline construction in this community, and you could come up with a price if that's what you want, and that's probably as good as you could get for a high-priced consulting firm to do it. So it's not a totally unknown either type of process or price.
David? Let's ask a question, because Mayor Norris said, is the concept of the pipeline from South Fork to Ragged Mountain contingent on a Western Bypass being built? Or is it taken advantage? Because I think those were your words.
Well, I said it.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, but that was what you said.
Right. Yeah. Well,
what I said was that it's right now it's planned for the right of way for the Western Bypass, and that there may well be other alternatives. We just haven't heard about these other alternatives yet.
Well, one of the alternatives was looked at when all this was going on. That was taking the pipeline down Georgetown Road, which is feasible. Would involve, you know, probably more impairment of traffic and other activities perhaps in that area than the current planned location. And then there is a third potential location for the pipeline.
I guess I just wanted to bring that out to make sure we didn't get stuck on this pipeline having being contingent on a road being built, which I don't think.
Well, if that's what I said, I misspoke. So that's not what I meant to say.
We do not believe, and I think we say publicly, we do not believe
that the South Fork Pipeline is contingent upon the building of the Western Bypass. What we do believe is when you look at the lay of the land in the area between South Fork and Randy Mountain, and if you assume, as the community overwhelmingly did in one of our public meetings, that they want to be on the fringe of the urban rural area and not coming down Georgetown Avenue, which was one time, or Georgetown Road, which was one time thought about, but in a public meeting, the community said, we don't want to do that. We don't want to go into the urban area. We want to be on the fringe. If you're going to be in that general area, and if DOT does the grading and builds a road to come in along the edge of the corridor near the road, maybe not quite in the right-of-way, but beside the right-of-way, and certainly outside of the area of construction, unless the grading is done first, it may make sense. It may be least disruption of other properties to be alongside a road that is already there, that is already cut across properties. But what we've also said is if this project is not built, and VDOT decides to revert the property back to the original owners, we do not think it makes sense, much less would suggest there be any link between this project and the corridor. We don't even think it makes sense in that scenario to try to build the pipeline exactly in that corridor. We would look at other nearby alternatives or however the community wanted to proceed. However, we do think it's feasible to build a pipeline with perhaps a slightly different corridor. We agree with some statements that we've heard that suggest the pipeline is not viable unless the bypass is built. We do not agree with that.
Ken? I like something Sally said a little earlier to try and maybe get us to some conclusion to this meeting today. I think maybe we ought to concentrate on those issues that we can agree on. And I think one of them that's most important, I think, on the table right now is whether or not we should move forward with the request for proposal that Vivanna had put together to get the experts to look at the dam proposal and whether that's something we could agree to do. I know there's some thought is maybe if we combined it with the other study, but what I'm hearing is probably not going to save a lot of money if we do that. It certainly could delay that. I think that's an important next step. I'd really like to see us agree to move forward with that RFP being let and the panel of experts looking at it, because that cost for the Ragged Mountain is something we can actually nail down and we can get some concrete figures on it if we move forward with that step alone.
I don't think anyone has raised any disagreement about that.
I think what Ken is proposing is that we vote on that issue and then go on to the remainder of that.
I don't know that we need a vote. Is there anybody opposed to moving ahead with that and sort of freeing up Tom's hands to put that proposal out? If that is the case. I don't think anybody wants to delay this process is what we're all saying.
I would really like to see the pipeline estimates because they're sort of linked. You can't have there's no point in having a dam if you don't have a pipeline to carry the water.
I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying that this one can be moved forward with the one piece that needs to be done to determine the cost of.
Well, I think we've already done. By the way, we've already done that. Well, that was voted on by the Ravana board.
The city
includes that within their proposal. So I understand the Ravana board is in favor of going forward with that.
Well, let's do this. Let's just understand that we will go through, but it will also be something we approve at the end of this meeting, along with whatever else we approve.
Your board.
May I make a suggestion? On the conservation issue, Ravana only has two customers. It's the city and the service authority. And we don't have a lot of control over what our customers conserve, but they have a lot of ability to affect their customers. I would really suggest that we move the conservation study to those two organizations to work together to see how that could come about.
I don't have a problem with that. In fact, I have been impressed with some of the things they're already doing and studies that are going on internally, both with Albemarle County and with the City Utility Department. Seems like they're already taking a hard look at that.
Well, Albemarle County had a proposed language for our comp plan specifically addressing conservation practices, and we delayed that subject to this meeting. So I think it makes sense to have the two bodies that are responsible for their retail customers' behavior to independently, perhaps collaboratively, tackle that issue. But it does seem like it's something that doesn't really make sense for y'all to be.
I guess I'd like to add one more thing, because we are talking about how that might affect the community water supply plan and the demand study. And if we can get the feedback from the city and the service authority as to how that would affect the DEQ and the Army Corps' demand portion of that, because I think if we're gonna look at it as part of the community water supply plan, we need it in that respect.
Well, Mike, wasn't that already looked at originally as an element of the water supply analysis? I mean, the demand analysis? And thought that, so it's already been looked at once, and there may be some new thoughts on how to expand the conservation potential, but it's, I can't imagine that they're going to be dramatically different enough to change the process. Or do you guys think otherwise?
I would reject the original.
We wouldn't have pushed for it if we didn't think it would affect the outcome. So I think the challenge is let's look at the best practices. And it doesn't matter to me whether it's Rivanna or the city and the ACSA that does it. I just want to make sure this analysis gets done and then that it's reflected in the and we can update the projections, demand projections. Based on a reasonable estimation of which of these practices that we can implement here and would be willing to implement here.
I'd like to get a better understanding of what it means to go back in and, in effect, challenge the existing demand analysis and how that affects the applications that we filed, et cetera. I will say a lot of these things being raised now were raised by me and others along the way. I thought that we had not put enough conservation into the plan in terms of establishing demand analysis. I thought the population numbers were high. But at the end of the day, most of the things being raised now, I thought the starting point was too high for the computation of the demand analysis. But those arguments did not prevail when we all went through this and ultimately vote, the plan was approved and it was filed and permits were obtained. So I guess I'd like to, I've never thought that this was some kind of magic number, that it was necessarily 100% accurate. It's based upon a series of assumptions. But my question is, we could spend a lot of time and money going back and in effect attacking the demand analysis, and maybe we find out that instead of 18.7 million gallons a day of safe yield, we only need 17.2 or something. Ultimately, I became resigned to the fact that, well, maybe we've got a 65-year plan instead of a 50-year plan, and that maybe that's not altogether bad. And even if you utilize different numbers, I don't know that the dredging by itself still doesn't satisfy the entire demand, so you still need to do something somewhere else in the system. There were a lot of reasons why Ragged Mountain, to me, made sense as a place to do it. So, what part of what you're saying seems to be, well, let's go in and do a substantial amount of work and study to see whether or not this demand number is accurate. And I don't know. I don't know where that takes us.
Okay, Dave, John, David, and
if I could finish the question I was trying to ask, because Dennis kind of followed up on what I was going to ask, which is, do you have a specific reason to question the demand assumptions that were originally discussed?
Can I make a quick point? One of the differences between the Board of Supervisors and City Council is the Board of Supervisors has a majority of members who participated in creating this plan. The City Council has one, which is me. Okay, the rest of City Council was not here when we did this plan. And not only that, but we have one of the city councilors who was present at the time is a vocal critic of the plan. So, and I think conservation is actually a point, if Kevin Lynch had the floor, and I'm not suggesting we give him the floor, but I think Kevin Lynch would say that the conservation numbers in particular are ones that I've heard him suggest that that number could be 20%. lower, you know, if with aggressive conservation means. So I think those are the types of reasons that I think has led this council to question it in the same way that, that when we were going through this process, we were questioning it ourselves.
Well, and
I just wanted to add that in as some perspective for the difference between the city council and the Board of Supervisors at the moment.
Yeah, that's a good, I appreciate that, because that's a good point. I was at all those meetings, so I was a lot more familiar with what was, as was Dennis, I know, too. So.
And I just want to address the point when Dennis said that why is this being raised now? We were very clear in our resolution endorsing the framework for the water supply plan that we felt it didn't go far enough in terms of conservation. It was front and center. So this is just, I just see this as a natural outgrowth of that. We endorse, we I think still support the essential framework, but conservation is the cheapest and easiest and best way to extend our water supply, and I just don't think it goes far enough.
David, what you're saying is then that you don't think we need to be studying the conservation as a condition precedent to moving forward with the implementation of the framework, but rather that as a separate parallel track?
No.
Or are you suggesting that you've now rethought your commitment to the water plan?
No, I'm saying it's part and part. When we endorsed the water supply plan, we added language specifying that we didn't feel like the conservation measures in place were strong enough. So it was,
but you
was
endorsed the framework nonetheless, and now you're saying, but well, we want to hold off on moving forward with the framework until we go back and revisit that caveat. I mean, it seems like a change of position. I'm trying to understand. Surely we should go and explore
been
more conservation
from you know, when we endorsed the plan. We're not saying now, by the way, our endorsement is contingent upon this. Our endorsement was contingent upon that when we endorsed the plan.
Would you say would we endorse the plan?
City Council and the Board of Supervisors both had language saying that we need to do more on conservation.
Well, I view these as there are two different issues here to me. One is what this community does in order to improve its conservation efforts. And that doesn't really necessarily by itself impact the water supply plan, nor does it hold the water supply plan up. The second part of that is whether or not you're saying, well, because we could probably do a better job of conservation and because of perhaps other questions about the demand analysis, we should go in and, in effect, redo the demand analysis presume we can do more conservation, look at the population numbers, look at a lot of these issues that were raised years ago. Where does that lead you? Does that lead you to then saying, well, okay, so we do this, and based upon these new assumptions, we only need 16.5 million gallons of safe yield? Is your position then that we should, in effect, look at the entire plan over again based upon these new numbers and find out whether or not there are five different pieces that could be put together in some different way to come up with 16 million gallons? And I just want to know if that's the road you're going down. We do need to understand that I think we're all here to get the best water we can get for our community in the least expensive way, in a way that's environmentally sound. But we do need to understand where we're headed with this. And I'd asked Tom earlier whether or not if we in effect go in and do a new demand study, how does that affect our existing applications and approvals that have been obtained, if at all?
John, and then Sally and Liz. Well,
Can Tom answer that question first?
Sure.
You raised a very important question, I think, and more that gets into the realm of legal advice. I guess one has to be careful sometimes without consulting an attorney. How do you address the question? I'll simply say that the advice that I get collectively, first of all, if this community wants to do a study and hire a strong consultant who understands how to implement water conservation programs and studies successfully throughout the country, and on the basis of that, you can use my services for your education program, the combination of those things, I think you can do that without affecting the water supply of the process. And many of us in this room today probably think that's a good idea. The kind of advice that I generally get with respect to redoing the demand assumptions for 50 years and then going to the regulatory agencies and say we want to change the numbers and scale back the project, most of the advice I get exerts a great deal of caution with that approach, and it's based on the idea that regulatory agencies have to follow the rule book of federal law. It may come into question whether a smaller demand, whether the right project has been selected, and all I will say to you is that there is a possibility that they would require you to start all over again and go back through the alternative process and spend the dollars studying alternatives that we did 3 or 4 years ago.
If I could just say one other, there is some assumption, I think, by some members of the public that we could put together any 4 or 5 pieces and automatically assume it will get approved. And I don't think that's the case. I think that we would have to go back through a fairly lengthy process to make significant changes to the plan we have. And maybe the community decides that's what it wants to do. But it's we're talking about a multi-year process and a multi-year public information approach. And from my sessions that I attended with regulators, the favorite of the regulators, other than the plan that we selected, was the pipeline to the James, not some other components that have been discussed. So that would certainly be back. If we go back through that process, the pipeline to the James is a feasible, practicable alternative. And that would be back. It'd have to be back on the table. They would require us to put it back on the table.
John,
I just wanted to add that I was involved as a citizen in the water supply planning process since about 1998, and it's very frustrating that the demand analysis issues and the water conservation issues are coming up again, because they were thoroughly, thoroughly discussed a long time ago. With respect to water conservation, people, citizens, basically knew 5% was conservative, okay? And we could probably do better. But the question is, for water supply planning purposes, what figure do you want to use? Because if you overestimate the amount of water conservation you can achieve, then you're shorting yourself. But if you be conservative and conserved like you hope you could, then you're going to have extra water supply. It would be irresponsible, I think, to plan water supply capacity on assumptions that the public will theoretically cooperate in the future and actually conserve. And then also there are many other uncertainties in the whole demand analysis process, including population. We can't predict what our population is going to be exactly. All we can do is the best we can. And we also don't, another uncertainty is we don't know how many water-intensive industries might be coming back to the county or arriving in the county. They're just unknowns. So to be, if you're going to err, you're going to err on the side of having more water capacity than you need, rather on less water capacity you need. Because if you underestimate, the community suffers. And also, I just want to say, it's very clear, I think, to a lot of people, that the real concern here by a lot of people who are critical now is that they really want a smaller water supply. Not necessarily a better water supply, but a smaller water supply. And I don't think that serves the interests of this community.
No.
We're all, as a city-county combined entity, going to have to produce by the year 2011 a water conservation plan as part of our long-range plan that is our regional water plan. So we are going to have to look at water conservation, and that's a perfectly appropriate thing for the city and the service authority. But I'd like to add that the county also should be involved, because at that point we're not just talking about public water and reservoirs, we're talking about well users and the rest of the county, the rural area of the county. Which actually brings up an interesting point, because one way to reduce demand is to allow greater sprawl out into the rural areas. because if people aren't on public water, they're out using the wells. And most of us on the Board of Supervisors have spent a lot of time and effort and court cases getting a development area boundary inside which we provide public water and sewer, and we don't encourage development outside that area. So that's just kind of a side effect of looking at demand analysis, but we actually prefer the demand to be on the public water systems rather than sprawling out in the countryside. We also, the most effective way to have water, or a very effective way to have water conservation, is to repair our old pipes. And Liz, maybe you were going to talk about that, and I'll let you. Okay.
I don't know how many people in the city council got a chance to read the thing that I sent out last night, but it was some attempt to sort of look at a conservation program if we were going to get our conservation efforts now evaluated by an outside firm, what would they be doing? And we have to, one of the big things we have to look at is old infrastructure. That is the cornerstone of any kind of water conservation plan, is to look at your distribution, maintenance of water lines and distribution lines. We have aging infrastructure in this area that needs to be cared for, and I think that in the last few years especially, there has been a big effort on the part of the city and the Alamar County Service Authority to try to look at some of this aging infrastructure and get our problems cleaned up. To have a outside consultant look at that now seems to me premature, because we're doing GIS mapping right now, we're buying monitoring equipment, we're in the process of getting a lot of programs together to look at this. So my one suggestion on getting a consultant in is let us do that first before you get outside help to, you know, it's just a waste of money. I think it's premature at this point. The other aspect of this is on the consumption end. I know the city has a lot of programs, and they can, and I'm sure they've told you guys all about all their programs that they have. This water supply plan is going to be, most of the growth is taking place in the county. That's what we projected. And the county is going to be paying for more of this water supply plan proportionately than the city, based on our needs. And the Alamar County Service Authority takes conservation on the consumption end very, very seriously. They take it on distribution and maintaining lines. We're very serious about that also. But we've got a lot of programs in place to try to decrease consumption. And we've also got the tiered pricing, because we do have irrigation in problems in the county, and we're looking very, very closely at how you encourage people to reduce irrigation and just misuse of water in general. And that's why we have the tiered pricing system. We are in the process right now of getting our 2004 rate analysis looked at again. And so when I see here, you know, in your proposal to get the rates analyzed, I say, well, we're doing that right now. We have a very competent firm, and we can share all that information with you, what we're currently doing. You know, so I sit back and I try to say, okay, what are you going to look at? Well, let us show you what we're doing on the consumption side now, and you know, and new programs that we're putting in place, and the commitment that we have to that. And I think you'd be surprised to learn some of the things that we're actually doing.
Myra? Yes, I'd like to make a comment. If I may. You know, I think consensus building is important among all of us. We had the city council received a resolution. And in that resolution, it asked, there were probably 6 points, or perhaps more. It would have been my wish for City Council to take that resolution under advisement and get input from the users so that we could derive or come up with a solution to each of these points, or get answer to each of the points. We have the Alamar County, we have the Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority that's made up of two members
from the city, two members from the county. As I look at the points here, there may be some confusion among all of us as to how much has been done on each of these points. And it just appears to me that we should use the resources in this room to figure out and to see how much has been done in each of these areas, and then determine which way do we need to go. Most of this work may have already been done, or we may want to delegate, as someone has suggested, Albemarle County Service Authority to do their area, their work in the area of conservation and the city, because it is different. But the thing about it is, so we need to build a consensus. We need a consensus on what we need to do here, and we need to move forward with that 50-year water plan. My only reason for coming here today was to see us move forward on the 50-year water plan. But if these questions need to be answered by the city, it just appears to me we have the expertise right here in this room to answer a lot of those questions, at least to inform everyone around this table what has been done in each of these six on six of these six points, that being scope of work, how water is being used, and all the other things that we have in the resolution. But it's important that since we are partners in this 50-year water plan, we need to be partners in the 50-year water plan. And it just appears to me that a significant amount of this work has already been done. It's been addressed in various studies along the way. And I'd like to see us move forward through some type of consensus. And that's the only way I can suggest that we move forward with consensus, is ask Rob Anna to address each of these points to everyone in this room, public, use public if we need to anyone, and have a document addressing each of these points and what we've done to this point, and whether or not, and we need to get to the next level.
There are a number of points in our resolution, and I have not heard or seen any dredging feasibility study yet. So I'm not sure. I wonder if that would be agreeable to the county and other parties to do that at least.
Before we leave water conservation, can I address that?
David and then Sally to the stewardship task force.
Yeah, I wanted to agree with Mr. Martin and with Dennis Rooker on the fact that I do feel that the issues of water conservation and the issues of demand, you know, were looked at in depth and were challenged by a lot of the people who were present at the time and challenged to our satisfaction. But I think that, you know, I don't see why we can't look at the conservation part in a simple fashion, sort of as Mr. Roberts, I think, is suggesting, by having the Water Authority and the city, look at what the best practices are and to what degree have we implemented them, to what degree if we can ascertain have our things like our toilet rebates actually penetrated the market. And frankly, I think the evidence is that I'd be concerned if we were more aggressive in our conservation numbers. I think the evidence currently points us in the other direction. Just to, you know, it was in the news recently that the use by the University of Virginia of water after having declined for several years is rising, and they've done a lot of conservation efforts. You know, they've done a lot of things, but they're growing, they're expanding, and their use is rising. I will also say politically, I see more evidence of us being willing to weaken our efforts during droughts in order to be cognizant of the economic impacts of drought measures than we are to be stricter. The county and city council recently amended our drought ordinances, and in my opinion, in the drought warning phase, we actually made it easier for people to sod a lawn, to water it regularly, and use more water, in my opinion, rather than to conserve. So I think that, you know, I don't see evidence that we're there. I think there's some currents going against us, so to speak, against conservation. So I like that. I think we can take a step back, have the city staff have the Water and Sewer Authority, you know, look into what are the best practices and to the degree to which we're meeting them. And maybe they come forward by saying if there's limits to their knowledge as to where places we might need a consultant. But I'd like to see them take a shot at it first.
Okay. I want Sally to update us on the Stewardship Task Force. But, Jim, do you have something on the conservation?
I do. I would certainly agree. And I think the main reason we should go ahead with a conservation program, especially the city and the service authority, is so that we don't slip back. We aren't going to lower the conservation figure and change the demand projections. I don't see that as a result of this, but what I do see is coming up with a conservation program that we can all agree to and have our customers agree to just to maintain where we are, because I do think that it's an important program. And we aren't doing that much. I think we could do more. And I think the city manager and our manager could work together to come up with a scope of a plan that perhaps the two agencies could agree to that look at what we do and other alternatives and maybe it's our two agencies that need to work together to come up with a plan and fund it individually and find out where the leaks are, find out why we have water loss as high as we do. Both agencies do. And we need to look at those things so that we don't keep falling backwards.
We're talking about 10 to 15% of the water in the area lost through leaks.
Yeah, except it's more than that. Yeah, except it's more than that.
That's huge.
And the issue is his demand projections are based on Rivanna's flows, not our flows. And both the city and the service authority sell a lot less water than they deliver to us. So we need to be able to find out where that water is, fix all our pipes, and get a lot closer to 5% conservation because that's what we're really looking for. We need to move forward with a conservation program to get to 5%. Right now we're less than that.
Before we leave this point, because I know you want to move on to the Rivanna and the dredging issue, but can we agree, am I hearing that we're agreeing to kind of put this point back to the City Utility Department and to the Alamo County Service Authority to deal with the conservation issues? Is that agreeable to you?
Whether it's Rivanna that does the study or if the city and the service authority that do this work, unless that's less important to me than seeing what more we can be doing. I think there's going to be a disagreement even amongst counselors as to what we do with that information. I personally think that they are intricately linked and that we should adjust the demand projections based on the outcomes of this analysis, but that may not be an opinion shared by even a majority of counselors. But if we at least for now can agree to move forward with the analysis, and then we'll make that decision at a later point.
I think we need to understand what the analysis is. And what
was outlined here was really hiring an expert to come in and do certain things that really amount to a study. And I think what we've heard here today from the people who would be the ACSA and people is that what they're suggesting is that we move forward and take concrete steps to improve conservation, and they have some things underway that are leading to that. So there's really a difference between saying we ought to have a study done and have somebody tell us how much more we could conserve, or having the city and county work together to improve conservation efforts in the community without hiring an expert to come in and overlay a different percentage. So I think we need to understand what we're trying to accomplish here. There, and personally, I'm in favor of taking the, rather than hiring somebody to do a study to tell us, gee, in your demand analysis you've done 5%, we think you could do 7.5. I'd rather have these folks get together and actually work toward a better conservation plan, including eliminating a lot of the leakage that's occurring in the system, and spend our money that way rather than on an outside expert.
Well, the assumption is that we're doing the best we can now, or that we've got things in the, pardon the pun, but in the pipeline in terms of steps that we're working on to improve conservation. We just need to do more of that versus let's let's think outside the box. Let's look at where other communities have instituted more systemic measures. I'm in favor of the latter, but I don't think it needs to. I don't think it necessarily requires hiring an outside consultant to do that. I'd like to think that we have the ability internally to look at some best practices, figure out how to build on the things we're already doing.
I agree.
In which case, we could take that out of this as far as a study
work
for,
gets done.
For RWSA to do as a condition of going forward with the water plan, and note that it's something we want to accomplish in charge. In your case, it's your public works department. In our case, we have a board here that's already indicated they want to go forward and do that work.
Just to clarify, David, then, are you of a mind that the most aggressive strategies for determining how to conserve are what is on the table? Separately, you're not proposing that we wait until we have that information and then revisit the demand analysis. We're saying that whatever those conservation measures are, we ought to move forward and do them, but that you don't want to hold up the 50-year plan over the possible cloud over the demand analysis.
I will not speak for council. My personal opinion is that we should adjust the water supply plan based on the outcomes of that analysis. But again, that's my personal.
I'd like to see us do an analysis and do it promptly, and then we can.
And then we can make that decision.
Decide what to do with it.
Okay, so as a part of this, we would just request the city and the Albemarle County Surface Authority to conduct a conservation study to report back to.
Specifically to look at best practices in other areas.
Okay. At this time, I'd like, and Sally, the update on the task force was just on a timing standpoint, not on everything that's gone forward. When can we expect to...
The assignment the four chairs gave to the task force was to be through by the end of this calendar year. We're going to do our darndest. Is that what you wanted?
That's what I wanted. So based on that, we have dredging the reservoir, a study and related analysis for dredging the reservoir based on the recommendations of the stewardship task force. So I think that's appropriate time to discuss that, although, you know, in essence, we are waiting for that report.
Yeah, because there's lots of ways to maintain the health of our Rivanna River, that everything from the sort of things that the Soil and Water Conservation District does with farmers, the sort of things that is done with construction. So there's more than dredging to maintaining a reservoir, and we've looked at a lot of that. We could bore you for the next couple of hours with the things that we've learned, I think, but since your question was about timing, that's what we're aiming for.
And my understanding is we have money in the Rivanna budget to conduct a dredging study if the four boards agree that that is the way to go. So since that's already here and we have money earmarked for that, I think we can go forward based on this request from the city. But before that, I've got some comments based on that. But go ahead.
So are you saying that you're going to proceed with the dredging study now?
No.
Based on the recommendations of the
We are waiting for the task force report.
Okay.
Liz?
Oh, I guess I misunderstood. We're not going to vote on that now.
No.
We're okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you.
Okay. I don't disagree with the city's resolution in that regard. And I don't know if there's anybody on our board that disagrees. I mean, I guess the point is the resolution said if the South Fork Rivanna Reservoir Stewardship Task Force recommends dredging as a means of maintaining the reservoir, RWSA will retain, and it goes on into the studies that would be accomplished at that point. And I guess is there anyone that disagrees with that approach?
John?
Well, one thing to keep in mind with the task force, which I'm a member of, is studying the question of why we should dredge, which may or may not lead to a decision with respect to specific reasons for dredging, you know, why. But we also got to answer the question when we should dredge. It may very well be that a decision could be made that, yeah, we'd like to dredge, just say, to maintain the UVA crew program. But when would dredging be necessary? If it's 10 years from now, there would be no point in going forward with a dredging study a feasibility study right now, because in 10 years, when the issue really became ripe, it would be stale.
Okay. Any other comments on the reservoir? I think we've got two things that we haven't finalized. One is updating the 50-year demand projections, although there was some comment about looking at the assumptions that it was based on and confirming that the way it was done was correct. But I'll open that up at this point.
Well, I want to go back to what Tom said earlier. We've got two independent reviews of that already, don't we? I mean, is that not enough? We need a third. Isn't that what you said earlier, that because of what the Nature Conservatory contributed to this effort, we've got two independent?
Because of what the Nature Conservatory did, the hydrologic people have a check on the gas running the water.
That's not the demand analysis.
Demand and safe yield are two different things.
Demand is the consumers taking water, the others.
Just to clarify, this was largely coming out of discussion about conservation, and if we up the ante with conservation, then can we adjust the demand? And what we heard earlier is that, you know, there's interest in upping the ante on conservation, and we're not sure how we want to if we want that to impact the demand analysis. And I guess today we're not ready to cross that bridge, and that's fine.
Well, is there any way that your council, others, can take a position on it, because you're all here, and it's a kind of a critical question? If, for example, City Council were to, by a majority, conclude that we should go forward with due haste to learn as much about what we can do to conserve, and we should go forward and implement those conservation measures, and that's the end of it, that's one outcome. If, on the other hand, a majority of the City Council says, and we want to hold up the moving forward of the 50-year water supply plan until we have a number from conservation studies that would inform the demand, which then would inform some aspects potentially of the 50-year plan, that's a whole different can of worms. And you know, I just wonder if it's useful for you guys to take a second to kind of quickly weigh in, because if a majority of City Council views it the way our board, I think, does, which is that it, looking at the conservation to the max makes sense, and implementing it to the max makes sense, but holding up the 50-year water supply plan based on some adjustments based on that process, I don't think we would agree with that. Maybe you guys are in the same place we are.
I just question the semantics. Holding up the plan, I think we go back to what Mike said at the outset, which is anytime you have a process of going from an idea stage to an implementation stage, there's adjustments that happen all along the way.
It's the permitting process that I'm concerned about, because our, you know, we got advice earlier that was, you know, a little bit hedged because of the legal nuances of what, you know, not being given counsel by counselor, but who has talked to lawyers, that, you know, do we want to actually formally possibly stop the forward movement of this water supply plan based on some adjustment in the analysis for demand based on conservation? Or do we want to accept the numbers, move forward with the water supply plan, and be thrilled that we've been able to scale back our demand numbers going forward? That's the distinction.
I'm not prepared to make, well, I've said what my opinion is, but I don't think we're prepared to make that decision until we have more concrete information about what the impact would be. And we have speculation, but we don't have.
I think I can speak for our board. The Alamar County Surface Authority will be the ones that are going to be paying most of the cost of the 50-year water supply plan, and we would not like to do anything to hold up the water supply plan. I think the conservation studies and all those are very appropriate and good things to do, but I would not want to hold up the progress of the plan to revise a demand analysis, try to make changes.
It comes back to a point Dennis made earlier about it, so we end up with a 65-year plan. Is that something that's bad? You know, I guess we don't think it is.
But it's probably important that we leave here today with some clarity about whether or not the City Council.
We're not going to vote today, in my mind. Looking at the City Council, we're not going to vote here today.
Or at least we could hear from other members on that issue.
I think you already heard here.
So the question on the table for City Council is there interest in
seeing if increased conservation can impact the demand analysis, or are we holding, are we keeping them separate issues?
Actually, the data would comes out, the study comes out by the city and county. You find out what it is before I can say.
Well, and personally, I'm very leery about holding up the plan or taking actions that might result in us having to, you know, start over on a water supply plan. And I don't think that's what anyone on city council intends or means by saying we want to look at conservation. I think that you can't, I don't think any of us can answer the question on to look at this, perhaps the smallest part of this whole resolution, which is conservation, and say, is this one little piece? Exactly what do you mean? I'd like to see, I think it has to do with what do the experts say about the cost of the dam? I think it has to do with, you know, what is the task force on the reservoir say about whether we should do, a study on dredging, and what does that study on dredging say? I think all these things kind of interlink, but as particularly as I can, I would say I'm interested in learning how we can conserve more water. I don't see at this point a role for it in creating a new plan, a different plan than we have now.
Yeah, one of the things that I think we need to remember is the focus of this meeting is giving Ravana direction, not causing, city council to make a decision that they're not ready to make. Liz?
I just wanted to say that if we can all agree to have Ravana move forward on getting the expert panel to review the dam, and I shouldn't probably speak for Gary because what I'm about to say will affect him, but I think that we're all very, very proud of how active we've been recently in conservation and our conservation plans for the future. We just we're going through a strategic planning process. The whole entire staff and board kept talking about conservation, and I don't think it would be very hard for Gary to, or someone on the staff, to get something together to show you where we are now and where we're going. And I feel very confident that you'd be surprised and happy with what you heard. So I think that it would be really great to give Ravana direction to move forward to at least get the price on the dam, to get the expert panel. And that would help you with citizens groups wanting to pin down what that dam is actually going to cost.
Well, I see the issue of pipeline also is discussed as part of the panel and not just left it alone.
Which pipeline, all three or just one?
Two, at least. One is repair or one is replaced.
I guess we're taking these kind of one at a time. I don't know that we've gotten there yet to that issue.
I think we need to remember, and Tom, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Dennis and others have alluded to this, but let's remember we've got a deadline from the dam safety group that have, and we've worked backwards from that. They've told us by June 30th, 2011, I think I'm correct on that, Tom, that we're supposed to have this thing done. We were supposed to start design early next year, 2009. There'd be a year of design in 2009 and construction for 2 years in 10 and 11 to finish this project. We're already behind. So we don't know what this, what DCR and the dam safety group are going to make us do. It's been alluded we might have to drain the reservoir, Ragged Mountain. I don't think they'll go to that. I hope not. But we don't know that. Tom's asked that question. We haven't gotten an answer. So I hope everyone keeps that in mind as we're making these decisions. Everything we do is delaying this deadline that we all are facing right now.
Well, the reason why I was saying we're not trying to delay anything is basically it could be concurrent. Study of the pipeline to be concurrent and review the data we have.
Yeah, as long as they're concurrent, I think we're fine.
Yes.
And Sally put forth a proposal, I think, on the pipeline. Do we need an engineering firm to come in and say, what's it cost to put a pipeline down similar to what's being done in other communities throughout the country? Or do we need a more in-depth study than that?
I don't think we need the in-depth study. What we need is somebody that can look at all the information that's in hand now, give it an objective analysis, and reassure that this is the best path forward. Or maybe there's some
gaps in the...
I don't have a problem doing that. I think it's probably a very good step, but I just don't know that it's going to tell us anything more. It's going to be any more accurate as to what it's going to be 10 years from now when they build that pipeline, or 5 years from now, than what information we already have. That's my only problem with it. Are we just spending money and we could still be facing the public 5 years from now saying, well, gee, those numbers were wrong too, because we didn't do the full-blown engineering study that we needed to come up with accurate costs. I'm questioning the value of what we're going to get out of that study.
If we were to add this as another aspect of this project, that we want the expert panel that we're already impaneling, that we're already paying for, come in and have them spend some extra time, not creating a whole separate group. It doesn't have to be a whole separate group. I'd like to think that that panel could look at all the information we have now and either say, yes, you're on the right path, or have you chosen another alternative. I don't see this. It can be done at the same time for not a great deal of additional cost, and reassure us that we're not going to have some major flaws in this, that there aren't major flaws in this thing. They're going to end up making us, have buyer's remorse 10 years from now.
John, before that, Tom, can I ask you to comment on whether we should do one study for the dam, one study for the pipeline, or both at the same time? You had made a comment earlier on what would be more efficient and more effective.
I think you can do both studies at the same time. I don't necessarily agree that you need the same experts looking at both studies simultaneously.
Don?
That was exactly my point, that the people from the dam are experts in dam building. The people, pipeline, might not know a thing about building dams. So it's not to say, and also you say you've got the panel in, but you still have to pay them more money to do the other study. And this other study, one of the things we've got to be careful of, falling into, you ask somebody to do a study for building a pipeline. They don't go out and survey the pipeline. They don't go out and take test borings for rock. They don't do a lot of kind of things like this in the study you're talking about. So they got two choices. They can either assume the worst conditions out there that can possible be and give you a real high price. They can assume they aren't going to hit any rock and give you a low price. Everything will move smoothly and give you a low price. And then when it comes time to get actual bids 10 years from now, there are a couple of things that can happen. If it's a good time for construction, the guy that's bidding on the construction doesn't care whether he gets this job or not. So, he gives you a high price. It could be the other way, like it is right now. You get good prices. In either event, somebody's going to say, gee, those prices 10 years ago were terrible. So I think we're just spinning our wheels to go out and spend a lot of money on a study for laying this pipeline out. We know that pipelines can be built. We know that I assume that there is some right to go in and fix the pipeline coming down from Sugar Hollow. Probably some, just because it's been there so long, probably legal rights have accrued to an easement down through there. So we know that could be done.
Absolutely.
No, you don't think so? Okay.
Well, we found that.
There actually is an easement.
There actually is an easement.
There is a recorded easement.
Okay, there's a recorded
pipeline,
easement.
But it is very nonspecific.
Okay.
But you need to have an easement by prescription.
Yeah, by prescription, by eminent domain. We can get the land to put a pipeline in if we have the will to put the pipeline in. But to try to do anything other than, I believe it was somebody's suggestion, the number of feet and a price per foot, I think it's just wasted money.
Okay. We're going to hear from David, but then we should go down, make sure we're confirmed on a number of these, and then so that we know if there's any question before we...
One more question.
Well, David's first.
I want to repeat something I said earlier, which is I think a big issue for City Council and what's driving this resolution is the fact that city residents are increasingly becoming very concerned about the cost of the dam and the cost of the pipeline. And we represent our neighborhood associations, six of which have come to us with resolutions asking us to do certain things. That's not true in the county. I don't think you've had every meeting that kind of deals with supervisors. We've had six or eight speakers for meeting after meeting after meeting, And so I think we have a responsibility to make sure that our residents have confidence in Gannett Fleming and confidence in the process that's moving forward. And I think we want to do it in a fashion that's not overly expensive, but I think it's important that we do that. And for that reason, I think we do need to have some experts come in, look over the shoulder of the work that's been done involving the pipeline, and go, yeah, that's good work. You know, that's pretty realistic. Or if not, point out if there's some things that haven't been considered or the methodology was suspect.
My question is there some concern on the city council that that's not a viable pipeline, or that it's more expensive than the Sugar Hollow pipeline? I want to get clarity on that, because there's been a lot of, you know, misconceptions and, you know, in news articles and whatnot. So
it's a very viable pipeline, and I support this plan. I just think that.
But okay, for the rest of the city council, is the concern that it's more expensive, or is the concern that it's not viable for some reason, that we can't be built?
The first one,
that it's more expensive. And is it the thought that it is more expensive than the 13-mile pipeline to Sugar Hollow?
I don't know that for sure. Did I find out? If somebody looks at it, I don't know.
Okay. And just out of curiosity here, could Ravana be giving you more information? Our pipeline information that was put in one of the 32 alternatives back when we were working on them, and the Sugar Hollow pipeline was included. There's a very low figure in those because reconnaissance wasn't done. It wasn't fully evaluated. And that price got out into the public. And unfortunately, it wasn't an apples-to-apples comparison. And I'm just wondering if, not that I'm saying I don't want to spend the money, but I understand the city council does want to spend the money, then we'll end up doing that. But could Ravana be talking to you guys a little bit more about why you can't compare that old Sugar Hollow pipeline value to the newer 9 Mile South Fork price tag? Would that help you in any way?
I think it will. It won't help me very much.
Will not help you.
No.
Okay.
I'll just say I'm concerned about the cost. That's my major concern at this stage.
But I mean, if you're going to pick a pipe, do you agree that there has to be a pipe to, if we build, which I'm assuming we're going to build a 50 year, the Ragged Mountain, we have to have a pipe in somewhere. So,
right.
So you're wanting to pick one of the three pipes, and you think that the Sugar Hollow pipeline is cheaper than?
I don't really know that. Yes,
well, there are a lot of reasons for using the pipeline to the Ravana.
Oh, I understand that, but if it's just
to do with just cost, so
absolutely. But
we need to put that would need to be on the table. If what we're trying to do is say we're trying to determine the best way to fill Ragged Mountain. Is it a pipeline to Sugar Hollow? Is it a pipeline to South Fork? Just look at the size of the watersheds and the length of time it would take to fill it. And assuming the costs are anywhere close, that's a pretty easy analysis, I would think. So I'm not sure. Part of what you're saying is you want to find out what the cost is, and I agree with that. I think it's very important that we know that the cost estimates made for the pipeline are reasonable and based upon good information, et cetera, because I don't think we want to go down the road with expanding Ragged Mountain unless we know we've got a good viable way to fill it and have some estimate of what the cost is for implementing that. But in this resolution, you seem to be going down the road of saying, well, we want to compare it to what it would take to connect it, to replace the pipeline to Sugar Hollow. Well, what's the value of that if it's really not a viable way to fill the reservoir because of the length of time it would take to do it?
The value isn't so much for us as decision makers. The value is for reassuring the public that this is the best plan. And right now, as Liz Palmer said earlier, this idea is being floated out there that Sugar Hollow is cheaper and, you know, we can just patch that up and it'll last for another 50 years.
And I want an apples, as best we can get, an apples to apples comparison of that pipeline versus this pipeline. I, you know, from the information that I've seen so far, I'm convinced that this pipeline makes more sense than the Sugar Hollow pipeline for a lot of reasons. But right now, there's a lot of distrust among the public that, as Dr. Brown said, we're hearing regularly from the public that they need some reassurance that this is the best approach.
David, are you referring to a vocal minority or a vocal majority?
It's the same, eight speakers every week. Or
well, I think there's a I haven't had too many people come up to me and say, boy, that's a great plan you got there. A lot of people are wondering about different components of the plan. I happen to think that the basic parameters of the plan are sound, but they're not convinced.
But let me just throw this out again. I want to say it again because of the viability, I think, of a study now as opposed to when we get closer to it. If we assume the fact that we are going to move forward with the Ragged Mountain Dam and it needs to be filled somehow, then it either has to be done with a pipeline from one or the other. We would be a lot more upfront with the public if we said, when we get closer to it, we know what the construction constraints are, then we do this analysis of which one's better. 5 years from now, or when we get to the point, and I think that was Brian's plan all along, maybe not to look at the alternatives, but to come up with what's the most feasible way to do it. I just think that studies now are going to be just as much suspect 10 years from now as were 3 years ago when we were planning the Ragged Mountain Dam. I mean, I think too many things are going to change between now and then, and that's my concern, is spending money on a study that really needs to be done closer to the time we're actually going to do the work.
If you're talking about an engineering study, I agree. If you're talking about getting some experts to review the information we already have in hand, I don't think that's going to...
But if we change... Okay, based on that, are we going to change and say, no, we're going to go with the Sugar Hollow approach, you think?
My question would be, and I asked Tom this, I mean, is it even viable to consider a plan where Ragged Mountain in an expanded state is filled up with a pipeline to Sugar Hollow? And what would the length of time be to try to fill the reservoir if that plan were implemented? Have we looked at that as... John, you know, it doesn't make sense to study something that doesn't work.
John, hold on. Tom? Through the modeling that was done with the same computer model that generates the same yield, we have shown that we have projected 2020 demand data. It's a slower process, but the large Ragged Mountain Dam that's been proposed could be filled over a slower period of time than the Route 5, the 18-inch Sugar Hollow pipeline. It does not. We have not confirmed that can take place for 2055. You have to remember the Sugar Hollow pipeline at 18 inches is at best a 4 million gallon per day pipeline. And you've got a plan that looks toward 2055, treating water out of the Sugar Hollow plant at a capacity of 10 million gallons per day. The viability of your treatment plant is only as good as the components that are filling it. If you can't bring the water to the plant, you can't treat the water. So we suggested in the plan that in the 2020-2021 time frame, we should be building the new pipeline. One thing that's not really been talked about much, just need to be aware, the current permits that have been issued have provisions for releasing water to streams, including the South Fork, also including the Mormons River. If this community were to say later, we studied Sugar Hollow and South Fork at one point in time in 2005 and decided very strongly for South Fork, but now we want to go back to Sugar Hollow. You're not going to be able to put the water in Sugar Hollow Reservoir into a pipeline to go to Ragged Mountain and be able to meet the stream releases that are in your current permit. So that means substantial modifications of permit. Unless there's a real change of heart at the regulatory agencies, I do not think they would approve that change.
Dan?
I also think there are other questions that perhaps have not been answered. You correct me if I'm wrong about the whole wildlife issue, migratory issue, because the Sugar Hollow pipeline land, so much of it is close to the park and is a whole different layer of oversight from DGIF and the other state agencies than the more urban route. So those are a lot more questions that maybe would affect whether that could actually be replaced in the way that people are talking about it now.
Oh,
I mean, just, you know, all I think I want to see out of looking over the shoulder of the work of Gannett Fleming on the pipeline is to make sure someone doesn't come back and say, boy, they way underestimated how much that's going to cost. Because I think if the cost of the dam has gone up from, I can't remember numbers, but it's gone up a bunch, 37 to 70. I don't want to, thank you, I know you can help me in the next part. I don't want to find out that the cost of the pipeline, also a more realistic estimate, is 50% or 80% higher than the number we have. That's what I want to find out. And so I just want to have a look over the shoulder to make sure that the numbers we're talking about are somewhat in the line of what, based on doing it now, with the preliminary study could do. The second thing I want to say, just to get out on the table, is I think a lot of city residents, feel a sense of ownership over the natural resources in Alamo County, including the Mormons River, and I think the value of maintaining flow in that river is something a lot of cities and Charlottesville residents value as well, and I think that's an important component of this plan.
And the flow, the South Fork River also has a guaranteed flow in this plan, so it has direct relation to the enjoyment of the Rivanna River by the city residents, too.
Well, I think the discussion we had earlier when we went to Tom is whether it's feasible for the experts that are looking at the dam also do the pipeline, and I think it makes sense to have a separate engineering firm look at the pipeline if that is the consensus of the board and make those two separate studies.
I want to understand what the scope of that analysis is, and as I understand the scope from the discussion that's just taken place, it's to determine that the cost numbers that are being included in the plan are reasonably accurate.
Right, to confirm the original assumptions right. Made by Gannett Fleming on the pipeline.
Could we have Gary just speak a moment to the... Well, he's going to speak about something else, but I want to ask him to just speak to what a review of those numbers would look like. As an engineer, if he could speak to what we're asking for, you're asking for.
I'm hearing a mixed message coming from City Council. First, it's, we want to know about the cost, but maybe we don't want to know about the cost. I guess... If we're going to go look at right now the estimate that was done back in 2004 or 2006, I'm not sure when the pipeline was originally estimated. Of course, it's going to be different today than it was then. How much of a difference are you willing to agree to? Because if it's too much, the price comes in a little higher. What's the alternative to filling Ragged Mountain at that point? If it's still less expensive to do the pipeline from South Fork than it is to do this Sugar Hollow pipeline.
I think it's less about the cost as it is about someone looking over the shoulder and saying the methodology was sound, this is a good estimate. That's all.
If that's all it is, then an engineer can sit down and in a very short period of time do that. But it's got to stop there. Because if you're going to ask them to do more, obviously the scope's going to increase and the price is going to increase.
David? A question. So the significant change in the cost estimate from Gannett Fleming for the wall was attributable to bad math on their part or defective methodology. It was attributable to engineering data that was available now but wasn't available previously, plus the adjustment of timing from the cost of construction then. I mean,
Tom?
Yeah. Correct.
So if that's pretty much what we've got here, and we go and we do a quick look at the methodology employed.
Bad assumptions.
Sorry?
I think they made bad assumptions as to how deep you had to go.
I think there's an issue of uncertainty where when you do cost assumptions, you maybe assume that the bedrock is solid, but you acknowledge that, but it might not be, which I believe was done. And then when they did their engineering or their borings, they found out that they have to dig a lot deeper to be able to support the structure above it. Similarly, if we undertake right now to revisit the estimate of the pipelines without any engineering, we don't even know the exact route that we're talking about taking. We have a possible route through the right of way of the Western Bypass, but as we've discussed today, it may be somewhere else. How meaningful is the exercise of coming up with a revised cost estimate for that pipeline and comparing it to another sort of vague guesstimate of what the Sugar Hollow might be. When at the end of the day, we're not going to know, as it's been said before, for 10 years, and we actually do the engineering studies, what it's really going to cost. So are we doing something useful with taxpayers' money in the short term, or are we kind of creating the illusion that we've now looked at it again and hopefully get the right conclusion that we should move forward? That's what I'm struggling with. Is it even worth going down that path, more than the casual look that Gary suggested, which is that we have somebody, an engineer, revisit the methodologies and say, well, those were sound or not sound.
One indication that it might be worth is that Gannett Fleming and Schnabel both looked at the same data and came up with a cost differential of how much?
Significant.
Tom? $20 million?
So if
it costs us a little money to have somebody double-check Gannett Fleming's numbers on the pipeline as well, and some of the other assumptions about the pipeline, I think it's worth it.
I agree.
Observation is just to help you get to a point of decision. I'm hearing some suggestion that maybe just get a study somewhat independent and when look at the conceptual design to tell us, does it make sense, can we go a little bit better, and what's an updated cost estimate. My sense is, if that's what you want done, my sense is that's a fairly simple process. It can be done rather economically, and it can be done in less time than it's going to take us to do the damn expert panel. Another aspect of what I'm hearing might be to do a comparison of multiple alternatives. I think that's a much bigger study, much more time-consuming, and much more cost. And I say that because if this just as an example, let's just take South Fork and Sugar Hollow and compare them. Some of the advice that we've gotten, if you take the split in the water source back to Sugar Hollow and you split it to Raggedy Mountain or South Fork, you've got to make decisions very early in a drought how you split those flows. And then you can't take them back because there's no interconnection between the final reservoirs where the treatment plants are. It may require more storage and or more water treatment capacity to accomplish the same safe yield. To do apples and apples on all that, now you're getting into revisiting safe yield models again. I think it's a much bigger study. It's much more difficult to orchestrate than a study that just says, we want to ask somebody to look over again and let me give an independent opinion of South Fork work, and is the cost estimate reasonable, which I think is a fairly simple study. And I just offer that to help you. Is that all right?
Okay, just do the simple, less costly point.
I do, but I don't think in terms of the apples to apples that we need to get as in-depth as you're talking about. I think what we need to be able to do is explain in very simple terms to the public what the advantages and disadvantages are of the two pipelines without having to get into all the engineering detail you're talking about.
And maybe that's something Ravana can do as an explanation. But we let the engineering firm just look at the methodology and the assumptions.
I just want to make sure it's based on this new analysis and not on the Gannett-Fleming analysis. So.
Okay. I'd like to have some neighborhood meetings to explain all these things to the neighborhood associations.
Once this new information's in, then we're going to have...
How about the old information? It sounds like the old information needs to be distributed again, too.
I think there's been a lot of questions raised about the old information. So I think that's, I think we're all in agreement. I think we've gotten to a point now we're all in agreement on a set of information that we want.
Okay.
Let's get it, and then let's go back to the public and explain what the options
are. What we're doing.
So, Mike, do you want to? Yes, I will do that after Sally speaks.
One point that I think has confused me is the layout of the resolution. The number one is appoint board of consultants, and number D is get the dam review. I enjoy saving it. And I'm assuming we're agreeing with D, but number one seems to be a whole new layer, and so I wouldn't agree with that.
I think I would be fine, and we're taking number one off the table because that was really more to sort of support for this whole process, but I think we'll be fine without it.
So I think as far as the pipeline goes, we are requesting that Ravana hire an engineering firm to look at the methodologies and confirm the assumptions, look at the estimate of the pipeline that Gannett Fleming did.
that acceptable?
And drag out some of the old comparative information between the two pipelines.
Well, that's something that Ravana staff is going to do after they get this information.
At what cost? We don't know what the cost would be for that pipeline contract. I don't know. It's service authority.
You mean the study part of that?
Yeah. I don't know what we're agreeing to here.
Well, Tom indicated that he thought that could be done very reasonably. But
I mean, what does that mean? 50,000 or 5,000 or?
Well, we've got to pass that on to ratepayers.
I think it's appropriate. I think the service authority feels it's appropriate to proceed to have staff do that, but not to spend the money without coming back to the service authority and the city. We're the ones who, if we're asked to pay for it for a study that we really don't think we need. I think we should have a chance to say, okay, we're willing to spend that extra money.
Yeah. Well, then I would suggest we set a price acceptable to everybody right now if we can get it done for that price, and if we can't, then to go back to the boards. Tom, do you have a rough...
If you keep the scope simple, I think you keep it to reviewing the conceptual design of the proposed and offer some advice in that area. Maybe something in the order of a 25K study could do it. You've got to keep the scope fairly simple.
It has a cost in the past, and to
provide an opinion that the cost estimate is in a reasonable range, or if it's not what they think it ought to be.
Agreed.
Is a cost not to exceed $25,000 acceptable?
It's a 50-50 between the city and the county.
Tom, we're going to pay for the dredging stuff.
It's an RWSA expense to have this study done.
Correct.
So it's paid out of the RSWA budget, or RWSA budget.
Which means two-thirds.
Which means two-thirds county and one-third city, basically.
Well,
no,
it's
60-40.
We're at, you mean as far as the agreement? No, 73-27.
On the operating budget.
It's 52-48.
Yes,
52-48.
So 52.
Okay. Well, I think that, to me, given where we are and the interest of the public in this, and the city's particular interest of its citizens, I think it's wise to incur that expense.
Second.
Okay. Well, it's a 52-48.
That's the way that this particular item
should be shared.
As per their agreement for cost sharing.
It's not our money.
It's not our money.
It's more supervisors that get a vote.
It's our first citizen. What are we going to do?
Well, I'm just saying.
So to repeat this again, this is to do a study that will confirm the assumptions, the methodologies, and give us a new price for the pipeline that Gannett Fleming did, and it will not exceed $25,000, and it will be split the way Ravana's current split is between the city and the county. Do we have a motion and a second?
I think if we could maybe get through the other things, put that on the table and see what we're doing with the other items, and then do them all at once.
As long as I don't have to repeat that one more time.
The pipeline thing.
Okay, so there is a consensus for that. We already have a consensus for the study by dam experts for the existing dam.
Mr. Chairman, would it be appropriate on all of these issues is to have a memorandum of understanding that we all can agree upon instead of just...
I think I agree, and one will come out of this meeting, be circulated to all of the boards.
I appreciate that, sir.
The third is that we will await the report from the South Fork Ravana Reservoir Stewardess Task Force on the feasibility study of dredging the reservoir. The 50-year demand projections, we will do the city The service authority will do the conservation study, report back to the four boards, and at that point, there a decision will be made whether we want to look at the 50-year demand projections or whether we will open that up again, I guess is a better way to put that. And I don't know that there's anything else on here that needs to be in the memorandum of understanding. Am I missing something?
That's the question. When the
stewardship task force comes with its report, will it be a meeting like this, and then we will discuss that particular part of this in detail? Then, as far as the feasibility study, any kind of next steps?
I think the four board chairs requested that the task force come and report to the four boards at the same time.
Good. Okay. So that's when those issues will be described. Okay.
In paragraph D, Sally just brought up the last sentence says, the team for comparison purposes will also develop an updated cost estimate in current dollars to simply make required dam safety improvements to the existing Ragged Mountain dams with no supply increase. I guess I would ask, first of all, whether or not that cost estimate has ever been made, and if so, what that what it would entail to have that cost estimate made as a separate matter. Tom, is this something you've taken a look at?
Before the water supply plan was revisited in 2003-2004, there was a study done specifically to address fixing the safety issues at the mountain. Several alternatives looked at. Drawn on some various options. The way that I can recall, there wasn't an option selected, but I'm doing this from memory now. It was based on cost estimates in the 2002-2003 time frame. They would definitely, in today's market, have to be updated. There's also a question, and I wasn't here when that study was done, but there was a question that I asked after I came on board that never really felt I got an answer consistent with what was written in that study when it was done, and that is that you have to drop the water level in the Ragged Mountain Reservoir in order to do some of the alternatives. And it's not clear in the report, but I was told later that it is probable that you would. And I think that's an important issue to this community because you're losing water supply at a time when your demand is near your current safe field. That's a little bit of a long answer, but I think it would have to be updated to give you any reliable answer in today's climate.
The question is, when we have the dam review team look at the function, the matters that they're going to be looking at based upon what Ravana had already planned to do, is this added in? This is something City, I think, added to what was intended to be done before. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Well, I was under the impression that they were going to assess, double-check all the assumptions that Gannett Fleming had made in looking at the dam work that needed to be done. And
was this in the proposal that RWSA was looking at? It was not in there, right?
Exactly.
So this has been added, and the question is,
the questions that have come in the community,
right,
about the dam safety, the cost for the dam versus a full replacement.
Well, I think my question is whether we would ever agree to this, because if we wouldn't, there's no need to spend the engineering experts' time and our money on determining that comparative cost. I mean, the Ragged Mountain Reservoir will be, as I've already said, an almost unique reservoir that doesn't silt in, and it's such a good part of our community water supply that I can't imagine our simply repairing that dam and not taking advantage of a situation where you're already going to have to be doing a lot of construction work there and yet not add to your water supply storage. And so if others agree with that, then we shouldn't waste our money and their time to look at that comparison.
Excellent.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I would agree that
I think under any scenario, any reasonable scenario that we've looked at, we're going to need to expand supply, expand the capacity at Ragged Mountain. I think one of the legitimate questions has been raised is how high that dam needs to be, and at what point do we need to repair the dam versus entirely replace the dam. And I think that's really what we're trying to get at, is the level of expenditure we'd be looking at for various levels of dam height.
Well, that's, I think, a little different than this particular point that was raised.
I think it was poorly worded.
And I guess when the anticipated review by this committee of experts, did you intend to have them look at the estimates that were done at various heights also, Tom?
They need to look at the background information. Yes, all that.
And then that would cover
it. I will tell you one of the things that this is a very serious concern for us. Moving forward with an expert, a panel of dam experts. We would want them to look beyond the configuration that Janet Fleming has shown for the new dam. Maybe looking at moving closer to the existing dam, maybe even look at the same configuration as the existing dam. That begins to answer, actually in the scope of that study, trying to find the best cost, actually begins to answer your question about the existing dam, how far will it go, when do you need to replace it with another dam.
So
that'll
be part of the undertaking.
Okay, one point that was just brought up to me is under Charlottesville City Council's proposed scope of work, item number one, appoint a board of consultants to look at everything. We've divided this up so we can delete the whole part of number one. Are there any other points to put in this memorandum? Any other comments anyone wants to make before we close the meeting?
I just have one question about the very last sentence in the thing about no construction on the dam is to proceed until all of these studies are complete. Is that something we're going to leave in there? Is that necessary, do you think?
I couldn't hear you. What?
Yeah.
The
dam construction is not going to start for, I mean, it was a year from now, and now it's going to be at least a year and a half from now, I'm guessing. We have plenty of time to do these studies. So
can we leave that sentence off of the referendum?
Well, I think it's important that we leave it in there, but I think it's a moot point. I can't imagine any of these studies taking a year and a half to complete.
So. Well, but I guess it would depend on your interpretation of construction. If you're talking strictly construction as opposed to engineering design work, as opposed to...
No, it's construction. We're just deliberately worried that way. So.
Dirt moving.
All right. Tree removal, dirt removal.
I don't have a problem with that. Given the scope and the studies that we're now doing, it sounds like it's not going to hold anything up.
Yeah. Well, plus today's discussion is making it clear we're talking about construction, not design.
Right.
Any other comments?
So on the memorandum, other studies are going to be, it's not other studies as we defined it today on that last slide.
Correct.
Sentence.
Okay.
You're going to draft for approval.
Yes, Ravanna will do that.
You're going to move forward on the
expert
thing.
Yes.
That's what we want to make sure is going to... You're going to do that today while you get your board here?
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Let's do it.
Do we have a motion to go forward with the expert panel for the dam review?
So moved.
Second.
Per the October scope.
Per the October scope that Ravanna put together. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
No, I'm good.
Okay. We are, before we lose control, Ravanna is going to close their board meeting. So do we have a motion?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Vote.
Motion to adjourn.
Right. We're going to adjourn until Tuesday, December 2nd, when at least some of us will be traveling to Culpeper for a meeting with VDOT.
Second.
Anyone opposed? Then we'll adjourn to that date.
move.
Second.
All right.
This is Tom doing this memorandum of understanding.